Thank you, Jesus, for this day. We want to bless you today. So we give you all our attention and our focus.
Yes.
We ask that your word would be life-giving today, Lord yes. God, and anything that is not of you, that it would be like chaff, just blown away by the wind of your spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you guys know I read it on Sunday and talked about one of my most favorite verses in the scriptures is, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And we talked about last week how in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 56, that prayers are called breathings, which I thought was really beautifully spoken. And when we read that and we read about the Holy Spirit, it just creates all this imagery in us, you know, and I think that's really good. And that's really very much like the Hebrew language, which we've heard is very evidenced in imagery, you know, that words mean a whole picture in the scriptures. And when we read the word of God, it gives us this picture when we really understand what is being spoken and when we focus, you know, mm-hmm. on what the word is speaking to us. And we've heard over the years how there's the message that's on the surface, and then there's the meta message, which is the message behind the message. And it doesn't take much to figure that out when you are reading things like the parables, right?
Yes.
There's always, it's a story, and then there's a meaning or a moral to the story, just like when you're reading about any story, there's always something there. And so Jesus' words, we shall not forget that they are life-giving. The word of God is alive, and so it gives us life, you know, even in areas where it's a correction or an admonishment, it still is life-giving because his heart towards us is always for our good and always for redemption. So I just love that whole idea of our prayers being breathings. Now, the scripture says in Lamentations 3:56, thou hast heard my voice, hide not thine ear at my breathing and at my cry. So there's this imagery of not only breathing, but there's this imagery of like gasping for air. Like you cannot live without air. You cannot live without water. And when Jesus says, I am these things, he is everything. The only thing that keeps us fully alive is Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we are like dead men walking. When our spirits are not born again, they're just a human spirit, even though it is a spirit. But we don't understand the things of God unless we really do have it revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And so when we are praying, we are breathing towards God, right? And we breathe after him, like we're grasping for him, we're reaching out to him. And that speaks about the demeanor of our hearts, that we should be desiring him because of love, right? When we're responding to his love, we love him. You know, if we are not loving God in the way that we are living, and we're not, you know, going out to purposefully sin or anything like that, but if we're not loving God back, we are not, it is very telling that we are not receiving his love. How many of you know that so much of our Christian lives are rooted in the false premise of performance or duty, when we should be responding to God in our love for him? And when It's like we hear the words wounded people hurt wounded people, right? Well, what about loved people love? You know, if you feel and are receiving God's love, you are gonna love other people, right? So prayer, this is from the Matthew Henry Concordance. Prayer is the breath of the new man of which we are, right, in Christ Jesus when we're born again. And it takes in the air of mercy in our petitions and our requests and returns it also back to God in praises. It is both. Prayer is both the evidence and the maintenance of our spiritual life. So, if our spiritual life is lacking, most likely your prayer life is lacking. And I'm not talking about, doing this religious, I have to do this thing, I have to pray. It's really, you just are communicating with God. You're just talking to God. You don't have to bump it up with your knowledge of the scriptures, or you don't have to bump it up with anything except for the love that we receive from Him. We return back to Him in honor, right? And in praise. And so we've looked at that the last couple of weeks about praise, but particularly praise when it comes to singing, right? And we've looked at prayer in the past as well. So prayer is our way of speaking to God, and it's also receiving or active listening. We talked about that as well. We actively listen to hear God's voice through the Holy Spirit, and the scriptures really is the primary way that God speaks to us, because the scriptures, again, are living and active. Doesn't mean that you're not going to hear God in other things, but it has to line up with scripture, right? We also know, too, that there are things that come to mind just like out of nowhere, and that is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. What we would consider the rhema word of God or the now word of God. So, and it can come in a lot of different ways, right? You can just be having a picture in your mind, or have a sense of peace, or feeling like you need to reach out to somebody. And those little nudges, as we walk with the Lord, we learn to pay attention to more clearly, so that we are motivated in, following the Lord after the Spirit. So, in Psalm 116, verse 2, I will read it. You can write it down as a reference. This is what it says: because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. So we need to have this awareness or this alertness in our spirits, like Jesus encouraged the disciples, right? To pay attention, focus, listen. That God bends down to listen. And this is, again, like a whole image of the humility of God. And we know it's demonstrated in how Jesus came to earth vulnerable in a child and all of that. But God, from the beginning to the end of Scripture, is always stooping down. And that is a picture for us that we need to understand. We can be right about things, but we need to have humility of heart where we stoop down to listen to others, right? Don't be so quick to speak, but take time to listen. And in that Psalm 116, it says, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. So, when the scriptures admonish and encourage us to pray always, it's not just that you're not doing anything else but praying. It's an attitude of the heart, right? It's always looking towards him, And how many of you know, when you understand that our position is hidden in the very Christ that we serve, that in Christ, we are always in prayer. In Christ, we are always looking to the Father in Christ. So our prayers are should be as natural as our breathing. It should be automatic, right? And we know too, it's a struggle. The flesh wars against the spirit. We want to be right. We want to be religious. We want to be proud. We want to feel sorry for ourselves. Those are temptations, to anger, fear, unbelief, whatever, right? That we need to be aware of so that we don't fall into that trap. Our first order of business in any challenge, in any situation, and in any relationship should be to look to Jesus, right? Again, we read this last week, Romans chapter 15, verse 6, and I will read it to you. So that with one mind, remember we said with one mind, one mouth, or one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is not just a goal that we are to attain to. This is something that is already present for us in Christ Jesus, that we choose to be in unity, right? We choose to forgive so we can be in unity. We choose to let go of our being right so that we can be in unity. We choose to not be proud and be humble because we choose to be in unity. And we have one voice, and really that voice is the voice of our beloved through us in the spirit. When we are worshiping God, we are not we are engaging our will and aligning ourselves with the spirit of God, but it is actually what is the very nature of Jesus in us by the spirit, praying through us and to the Father. And so we can relax a little bit, right? In that we don't have to feel like, praying or feel like praising. We just surrender our will and come into alignment because our emotions and our thoughts should not determine how we're living in the spirit. It should be the opposite. And our whole journey in being sanctified in the faith is that the spirit dominates our soul life, our mind, our will, and our emotions. I have come across many times people that have broken wills or damaged wills. And that's a place where we need healing. When you are struggling with issues, addictions, habits, anything that is feels like it's controlling you, it's dominating you, it is just showing us that we need to be healed in our wills sometimes because our wills need to be not our will, but yours be done. And in our human nature, we will fight that in our humanness. But when we surrender to the will of God and to the Spirit of God, we will do what Jesus did and we will do what pleases God the Father, right? So, like I said, I've come across many people who over the years have had really problems with their will. Even Paul said it, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. That is our struggle, right? But the reality is that person before Christ is already baptized into his death. It's a pretend thing that it wants to come alive and dominate. It's like it's a false thing. And you know what? We just have to see it for what it is and say, no. To our old nature. No, that person that kept wanting to do things their own way, that the things that oppose God, that person's gone, buried in the baptismal, waters. And so we learn, don't we, to live by the Spirit. It's something that is always happening. And so In Ephesians, in chapter 5, verse 19, if you want to write that down, it talks about speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And it says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Now, last week we talked. Basically, when we're talking about that aspect of praise and worship, we talked about singing. And we talked about how, in the beginning of time, Satan was the worship leader. He had instruments and pipes built into his very being, and he took that praise and gave it to God Almighty. And then he decided he wanted it for himself. So you can see, after the fall, and Satan and a third of the angels are sent to earth, there is so much influence and power in music, in song. And that's not an exclusive part of worship, but it is a big part. When you hear things out, when you're driving around and that beat is going and it feels like it's vibrating in your body, you're disturbed, right? It's just a sound that is disturbing. When I hear that bass thumping and I hear those, bombs, F-bombs in the music, that stuff is not good, right? But God used song from the very beginning of time, right? God in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 is called a singing God. That is a good image to get into your head, right? And into your heart. Like, my God that loves me is singing over me. Maybe when I'm sleepless, he's singing some sweet lullaby, right? Maybe when I'm afraid, he's singing over me. He rejoices over us, the scriptures say, with singing and dancing, which is another active form of worship, which I'm not going to touch on today, but you can see that God is moving around, right? He is so excited over his creation. He is so excited over his family, over his son, and over his son's people and his people. He's excited. If I said this once, if God was like a regular person, your face and your artwork would be on his refrigerator and in his wallet. That's how much, I mean, you know how people do that? Like they're showing off. Like, God, you see my kid over here? She's praying for somebody. I love her. You see it in Job when you read the story of Job that, Job was so righteous that the devil wanted to mess with him and God allowed it, right? Because you know what? It wasn't that God wanted to just take things away from him or all of that. It's that God wanted to show him. He wanted to show him who and where his power came from. When it says in the scriptures, I've heard of you and Job, but now my eyes have seen you. See, God, when we go through stuff, that should be the result of our trial. That we knew a little bit about what God thought about a situation or a relationship or whatever, but now we see him. Now we can understand his ways. Now we see him in a way that's clearer, right? So it's one thing to have knowledge about the Lord, but it's another thing to experience and have a relationship with him. And again, our relationship with the Lord is an everyday thing. We can be saved, but it takes a lifetime to give your life to Jesus. Every single day, you make that decision to give your life to Jesus. And we are encouraged to walk in that way. Now, we don't like to think about when we walk in God's ways because sometimes it is very uncomfortable. Sometimes, like I said earlier, you're laying down your life, right? You're humbling yourself, and you want to exert your being right, and we want to punish people that hurt us. And we are called not to do that. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And so forgiveness is a really vital part of our relationship with each other and with the Lord. And how many of you know it is way easier to say it than it is to do it? And when you're in a challenging situation and you know what you're supposed to do and you're struggling with it, and you do it and you're obedient and you surrender to the Lord, the outcome is that you see Jesus and you see him better and you see him clear. And not only that, but see you see each other clearer. You see each other with the eyes of God and how Jesus sees them. You know, we can justify so much of our attitudes, but we have to remember that attitude is spirit. Now, if I had a bad attitude and I was angry, I would have a kind of, I would say it was a spirit of anger, right? Doesn't mean all, you know, it's all demonic. It means I have a spirit of anger. I cannot blame the devil for it. It's in me, right? And those are the areas where we need to just get before the Lord and get free from. Fear is another one that really dogs our steps, you know. Anger and fear, just to me, and unbelief as well, really, really tries to chase us down, right? So when we are speaking to one another in Psalms, now I'm not going to come up to you and say, love the Lord because he has heard my voice. I'm not going to walk around with that, but you know what I'm saying. It is about the heart behind the words that we are to encourage each other, we are to love each other, we are to forgive each other. I'm not going to walk around reading these and thous about who you are. However, in scripture and especially in the Psalms, you will find every variable of every kind of emotion that is present in human beings, from depression to hope to fear to anger to vengeance and all those things. So, you know, if you need to find something that matches where you're at, just, you know, you can look it up. Just Google, you know, Bible scriptures on hope. It'll come up. There are some advantages to being in our time, right? And that could be one of them. Okay. In Job chapter 38 in verse 7, talking about creation, it says, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So, here's another beautiful picture of creation that not only did God create it, but all of creation praises the Lord. The stars sing together, which I don't know this scientifically, but I probably guess there's probably sound that comes from stars. Do you know that for sure or not?
I think I've really heard about this.
So I'd be interested into looking into that, but it seems to me like if they're singing together, there's some kind of, you know, activity as far as sound goes. But you have this picture of creation and all of heaven rejoicing in the presence of God. We see that when we look into the book of Revelation, right? And we see what heaven is really going to be like. It's going to be beyond. We can't fathom it even. And in heaven and in creation, Psalm 89 verses 5 through 7 talks about the heavens praising God's wonder. So we talked about wonder last week, how wonder is part of our inheritance in Christ Jesus, that even in our darkest times, we can look to the Lord and see how exquisite, how extravagant his love is, how beautiful his mercy is, how rich he is in love toward us. And you can use your imagination to have that kind of picture, of all of heaven praising the Father in wonder. And it's in scripture when you look into the book of Revelation about the angels and the elders bowing down, declaring God's holiness and celebrating him and all that. And so when we're in worship together, I'm talking about the singing aspect of church service. When we're in worship together, do we have a sense of awe? Do we have a sense of wonder? Or are we worried about our laundry? Are we worried about the next thing? Or, right? I mean, those things clutter our minds. You know what? You just hit the, and it happens to all of us. I mean, I had an argument on the way to church, or I had to spank my kid on the way. And you know what? You just enter in anyway. You just enter in anyway and say, Lord, just restore my sense of wonder, my sense of awe of all the beauty that is before us. And look, we see it, the negative constantly barraging us, right? I'm telling you, I told my husband the other day, I can't stand watching the news anymore. Every single day, it's so horrific, and it's from natural catastrophes to all kinds of violence, the shootings, the people are experiencing it in their own families here in this room, the violence that is happening in the world. And you know what? You can get real caught up in it and get fearful, or you can have compassion fatigue where it doesn't affect you. If you don't watch the news for a little bit and you put it on, your heart's going to break when you see those children in Texas in that flood. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you need a break from all of that, even in the midst of it. Jesus found a way to do that. Even in the midst of facing his hour, he went away and he struggled, in the garden with God and all that. But he was struggling in his humanity, but he still did not sin. We can struggle in our humanity and still be without sin in that situation. The struggle isn't the problem. It's what we do with it, right? Are we going to give in to unbelief? Are we going to give in to fear? Are we going to stop following the Lord because it didn't work out the way we wanted it to? And we have perfect example with Judas, right? And it was spoken of on Wednesday, not Wednesday, on Sunday, that Judas was a human being. And I think that Pastor Oz was talking about, he was a normal human being. And things didn't work out how he thought they were supposed to work out. And he put himself in the same satanic position as Satan did before he rebelled, or when he rebelled, right? That's the exact same position we put ourselves in when God doesn't do what we think he should do, or it shouldn't work out the way that we want it to work out. And when he disappoints us, we want to punish God. That's when we're doing this, holding our fists to heaven, right? How many people do you know have stopped following the Lord because they didn't get to marry the person they thought they were going to marry, or they didn't get to have a child when they wanted to have a child, or they struggled in their finances, and instead of being grateful for everything being taken care of, even though there was no surplus, right, that they stopped following the Lord because they believe the lie that Satan did from the very beginning to impute to God that he's not good, that he is holding something back from you when he is not doing what you want him to do, like Adam and Eve. Oh, God knows once you eat of this, you're gonna be just like God. That's the lie that Satan believed, right? In heaven, before he was thrown out of heaven. We have to understand there is part of us that wants to go in the wrong direction, right? And so the part of us that wants to go in the right direction has to be fed, it has to be nurtured, it has to be strengthened, it has to be exercised. That's what Christian discipline, as far as reading your word, praying, worshiping, all those things are about. It is not about performance. It is not about keeping the rules. It is about surrendering to Christ in each and every challenge and situation. Do we flunk sometimes? Yes, we do. Guess what? When we do, his mercies are new every morning. Every morning that you wake up is an opportunity to start again. That's amazing. That's really miraculous when you think about it. The things that you did the day before are not being held against you by God. He's not out like, oh, you messed up too many times. You said a bad word and you lost your temper and you know what I mean? You have a new opportunity every single day that you wake up. When you wake up, good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for this day, right? What would you have me do today? And you know what? When you focus on the Lord, the things that are hard become less, they become dim, and the things that God wants you to do become easy. You get that little nudge, like you're in the bank line, and the Lord will just put it on your heart. Ask that girl how she's doing today. She looks a little sad. How you doing? That's just, you pay attention to those whispers and to those nudges, right? And really, when you do, how many of you know that that's how you learn the voice of God, right? You learn it by doing it. And look, if it wasn't God, you said a nice compliment, right? If it's positive, you're saying something that's good for somebody. But if it's really God, God is speaking to that person through you. And that's amazing. That's amazing because things will come out of you that will surprise you. You'll say, I didn't know I knew that. When we're in service on Sundays, there's a lot of times my mind is blown and I don't understand the whole of what's going on and being said. But guess what? It's downloaded into my spirit, deep from the Spirit of God to deep in my spirit. And there will come a day or there will come a time that those things, the light will just go on or it will come to mind and you will know it. So if there are things that you don't understand, don't worry about it. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us. He's our teacher, and he's our teacher through who's ministering. So that's a good thing. In Psalm, oh, wait. Okay, I'll give you another reference, but I'm not going to look it up. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. Okay. And here's the next one. Psalm 47, verses 6 through 9. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. So here we have encouragement to open up our mouths and to praise the Lord. I'm not saying you have to be loud, and I'm not saying there aren't times when you're quiet and still before the Lord. That's God's job to know where your heart's at and those things. But here in the scriptures, it's mentioning something that when you open up your mouth, it says to sing praises to God. When you open up your mouth, don't be saying something negative to somebody. Sing praises to God, and so it is about singing too. Doesn't matter if you have a voice like an angel or a voice like Darth Vader, you can sing. Everyone can sing, and you don't have to be loud. You can be whatever, but this does say that you are to open up your mouth, and it's supposed to have a volume to your voice. Not doesn't have to be big. But it, you need to say it, right? I read something and I don't remember exactly how it is, but when you're humming, you can't think of anything bad when you're humming. Now, I know this is true because my mother was a hummer. Everywhere we went, she was humming. It used to drive me nuts. I'm serious, it would drive me nuts. I would put the radio on and it'd be like hard metal. And my mom would be like, I mean, she would hum to anything, anywhere. And you know what? I thought about it when I heard about the facts that, humming is really good for you. I thought that's how my mom coped. My mom had a very stressful life, and you know what? She was not one to, she didn't deal with stress real well. You know what I mean? She had five kids in 7 years. You know how that goes. You're just busy, and you're. And so I was like, yeah, Lord, you let my mom be a hummer for a reason. Is it, you know what I mean? It used to really truly drive me crazy until after she passed and I found out that humming is good for you. Or, when you're singing a song, you may not feel it when you get here on a Sunday morning. But if you engage in faith, your voice, your heart is going to get in line with what you're singing, right? And sometimes you just have to say, shut up, soul, be quiet, hope in God, like David in the Psalms. He just said, be quiet, oh my soul. Why are you so downcast? Sometimes you're just downcast and you don't even know the reason why. Sometimes it's just, you need to just jump out of that place. I'm downcast. Is it something outside of me going on that is keeping me from worshiping the Lord? That happens, right? All of a sudden, you're thinking about somebody that you're mad at or whatever. You got, how many of you guys have these videos in your head? They are so theatrical, and so dramatic, you know what I mean? And sometimes the devil, very busy, he'll just say, oh, drive off the road. You ever hear that? Yeah, you know where that comes from. God's not going to tell you that, right? Just give in to this. You'll feel better. Oh, yeah, you will for a moment. And then it's not good, right? Sin is pleasant for a moment, but afterwards, man, you got a hangover. All right. So here's a couple of references. And remember, too, in that Psalm 47, when we sing praises, we're singing praises to our King. It is not a democracy. He's a king and he's on the throne, and we are his humble servants. And he deserves, right, our obedience. He deserves our devotion. He deserves our worship. And so, regardless of what we're going through, it's a discipline to bring yourself back around and say, I'm singing, I don't care. I don't care if I just lost 50 bucks on the way here or whatever it could be. Some things happen, and I mean, my car broke down this past weekend. I'm like, okay, I think that my tires need air in them, and it was almost $900. I wasn't happy. But you know what? We're to sing praises to our King because he is worthy. Here's a couple more references. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, if you want to write that down. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. And so we become what we praise or what we worship. We become like who we praise, right? If we spend all of our time doing one thing or another without regard for our time with God, it shows you very clearly that there is an idol in your life that you're worshiping. Does that make sense? When I spend more time on the shopping network, I am worshiping, in a sense, something that is not worthy. It's not God, it's an idol. They're all kind our the human heart is an idol factory. It produces constantly, right? It can be anything. It isn't just alcohol and drugs. It could be shopping. It could be lottery cards. It could be cigarettes. It could be relationships, right? If we have a relationship that is held in more esteem than God Himself, we're in trouble. It's not good. It's not good, right? Because that thing is not worthy of that type of devotion, commitment, love, all that stuff. Great, but not more than God, right? Even Jesus became what and who he worshiped. He became one with the Father, even as a human being, divine on earth, right? And Jesus is our model in the Last Supper and all of the feasts and things that went on in Judaism. There was a lot of singing, a lot of song from the beginning in creation to Miriam's song about God delivering from the Red Sea out of the hands of the Egyptians and how the enemy was drowned by the act of God and the people were brought into the promised land. All that is sung about. All the psalms are sung. They're all music, put to music. So we it is important. We know too that when King Saul was assaulted by the demonic, that he would bring David to sing to him and those demons would leave. How many of you know that the opposite is also true? In our culture, you invite darkness when you're listening to certain levels of music or song, right? Pay attention to lyrics. Sometimes you get a catchy tune and you're singing it along, and all of a sudden you realize what you're singing, and you're going, oh, wow, I didn't mean that, you know? I'm a lover of music. My dad was a musician all my life. And so I love every kind of music except for not crazy about country. And I'd rather listen to opera. And I don't like that much either. But every other kind, give me rock and roll. Give me, you know what I mean? I like all kinds of music. However, we do know that in this day and hour, in among the Christian music industry, there's a lot of uncleanness going on, and God is, man, he is shaking the tree, isn't he? For those of you that have heard, one of my very good friends, her son is in the Newsboys. And, if you've heard of one of the Newsboys, Michael Tate fell from grace, but he had been living a double life for many, many years. About probably 20 years of a homosexuality, drug, drinking, sexual abuse. And so they're reeling, they've been dropped by their label. There's consequences. Now, did they know about it? I think they knew a little bit because he confessed to some things. I don't think they knew the extent of it, but what heartache. They were family. All those musicians and all their families, they hung out together, they were family together, and it's devastating a lot of people. And he had before that been in DC Talk, I believe it was. So so every week I'm trying to give you like a little update of all the bad things that are happening in the scene. But guess what? There's good things too, there's some really good things too in that field. Again, when Saul was oppressed by the demonic, he would bring David in and he would sing to him, and it would those dark things and dark, thoughts and emotions would leave. It's the same with us. If you're feeling like, you're kind of discouraged or down, honestly, it's a recipe and a prescription that you just put some good music on, good worship music, and just start singing, or listening to it. Or for me, I love instrumental music too. There's a new music out by a guy. His name is Min Young Yoo, Min Young Yoo, and it's all orchestrated, instrumental, about creation. And if you listen to it, I mean, you actually can really kind of picture yourself in the beginning of creation. And it's very soothing. So when you need that, you have that. Also, too, it's a good thing. In between the Psalms, it has that little Selah. That's a pause. In between what you're doing, whether it's listening to music or whatever, sometimes you just need that quiet pause. You know what I mean? So you just kind of have to feel that out. In Acts chapter 16, let's go there. Okay. Chapter 16, I think it's verse 23. Okay. Okay. This was the story of when Paul and Silas were in prison. Okay. 23. After they'd been beaten, right? If you look up, you'll see they had been beaten, thrown into prison. And when they had laid many stripes on them, those that were beating them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. So you see, the jailer has to keep them secure, and that's a big part of this story. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So he took it, to the next level. He put them in a place that they couldn't easily, no one could get to them, and they couldn't get out of it. Right, into an inner prison, and then he put their feet in chains or stocks, right? This is the jailer who is soon to become a believer. Okay. And he's just doing his job. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to him. When you are in a situation that is difficult and it is hard, and people witness that you are living above your situation or your crisis or your trauma, that you are still able to cope, and people just say, I don't know how you do it, but when you are doing that, other people are listening, and other people may have the opportunity to know the God that you are singing about, or having that demeanor in your heart, right? You're loving God. You're living above your circumstances. You're walking on water like Peter. As long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, right? You're not going to sink. So you're defying everything that wants to drown you, right? We know what that feels like, right? When we're being pulled under. And so everything that wants to drown you, when you are walking in a state of overcoming, which comes only by the grace of God, not our own effort, other people have the opportunity to get saved, to get influenced, and they are listening. Now, it may not happen right at that moment, but how many of you have a history with walking with Jesus that your family has known about and seen you living for so long that there will come a time in their life they're going to ask you, or God's going to meet them, or something's going to happen where they're going to have an opportunity to come to the Lord? Because look, even though they were in prison, Paul and Silas, the ones that are watching your lives are in prison as well. They just don't know it a lot of times. Look, when I was in prison in the world, when I was doing drugs and I was sleeping around and doing all this stuff, I had other people in prison with me. They were doing the same thing I was doing. And when I came to Christ, some of them listened when I was worshiping God in the way that I live my life. It was a light, we are salt and light, right? Okay, so we'll go on. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. So They're worshiping God. Then comes out of nowhere an earthquake. This was not a little tremor. This rocked the very foundations of the prison. When people are hearing the gospel and watching your life, their very foundations of sin and darkness and bondage are being shaken so that they have an opportunity to do what the jailer will soon do. Okay? All of them had their doors open. Everyone's chains were loosed. We don't know what each individual prisoner, how they reacted, right? I would imagine some really did have the fear of God with the earthquake. I mean, at 9/11, everybody thought it was the end of the world, and people that never prayed were praying. My neighbors, who I have never talked to, were out in the courtyard, and we were all praying. I mean, it was really a terrifying, horrifying time, right? So if you're in an earthquake, how many of you know you're going to be praying? And sometimes people get free. Their door is open. That door is an opportunity, a door of opportunity for them to receive the Lord and walk in his ways, and their chains are loosed. Sometimes even if people don't know the Lord, if they're around you, they're going to be blessed. You know that? Because they're going to be around the Spirit of God, although they need to make that decision at some point in their history, right? But we are a blessing wherever we go because we have the eternal God in us wherever we go. Okay, so we're going on. 27. And the keeper of the prison, that's the jailer, awaking from sleep, so much for staying awake and being diligent there, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Wow. Things change so quickly in the spirit. Here he is. He sees the doors open. He's now under the fear of the Roman government, because he was told to secure them in the prison. And when he sees the open doors, it would be a natural reaction that when the doors are open, those in chains are out, right? That did not happen. And so, because he was living in that fear, he thought the retribution that he was going to get for not doing his job here and keeping them, although he wasn't at fault for doing an earthquake, right? But he was charged to keep them securely. And the fact that he's entertaining now what would happen if he was caught with them fleeing, it would be worse than if he killed himself. How many of you know people in the world think in these terms? They really do. And they want to do something permanent for a temporary situation. When you're talking about suicide, that's what that is. Things pass, things get better. So I imagine that's what he's thinking. Oh man, am I in for it now, right? But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm. For we are all here." Not any of them had left yet. Now, he's not talking about just him and Silas, Paul and Silas. He's talking about all the prison doors are open, which I kind of read into that, and they're all still there. Why? My guess is that God had something to do with that, right? Then he called for a light and ran in. This is the jailer, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Isn't that interesting that the jailer, who just was about to kill himself, is now calling for light for this darkness, right? And then instead of having the fear of the Romans and their retribution, he has the fear of God. He's quaking in his boots, right? And he brought them out. He brought Paul and Silas out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" See, this is a real conversion. When a person comes to the point in their lives where they say, "What must I do to be saved?" No, I'll serve you, Lord, if you do this. No bargaining with God. No, if you do it my way, I'll serve you. I know I've heard people say, "If you're real, God, show me." That's legit, right? And guess what? He will. But he says, "What must I do to be saved?" That is a real conversion. He is not looking at what could happen to him. He's looking at what could happen to him in the fear of the Lord, right? And so they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." So, wow, not just him is saved, but the whole household. How many of you know that is a promise for us? When our family members are not following Jesus, I hang on. My household is gonna be saved. I don't know if I'll be here to see it, but I do believe it, and I'm never going to not believe it. And when I struggle with not believing that or being discouraged, then guess what? I can have faith for your family or your family and believe God that that's your inheritance. And I can have somebody pray for me for the same thing, right? Sometimes with your own, it's hard, right? Then they spoke the word of God to him and to all who were in his house. So they're all getting the gospel. And he took them the same hour of the night. He took them out of the jail and washed their wounds. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. This is a far cry from the beginning of the story. In just a couple of verses, how many things have changed? That's how God moves, man. He can change anything in a moment, right? A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day with God. And so he took them into his own home. Not only did he keep them secure in the jail and then not, right? He took them out of that situation into his very own home where he was vulnerable to them coming after him, right? And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the officer saying, "Let those men go." So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." Oh, no. You did this in public. You're going to apologize in public. But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us in public openly, uncondemned, and we're Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison, and now they want to let us go secretly? No way. Let them come themselves and get us out. Let everyone see them releasing us," right? And the officers told these words to the magistrates, those in charge, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. Then they came and pleaded with them and asked them, "Please, to depart from the city." Wow. Pretty cool, though, isn't it? So while Paul and Silas are in prison, they're listening, right? While they're praying and singing, they're actually singing, and that's where, our focus on that aspect of worship is. There was a great earthquake, and everyone's chains broke. In spiritual warfare, do you know that there are more chains broken when you are adoring Christ than if you are going out to battle? That is the very essence of what Jesus did, right? He loosed us all from our prison because he sang praises to God. He was imprisoned at the cross for our sakes. And when he worshiped God on the cross, suffering as he did, and he's reciting some of the Psalms and Isaiah and all these other things, and he's worshiping God. How many of you know there was an earthquake? Just like this. This is an image for us to kind of get into our heads and into our hearts that when we're worshiping God in the worst of situations, how effective it is. It is an earthquake in the spirit realm. You don't know the landscape of the spirit realm all the time. You are unaware many times what your prayers are actually doing, right? It's kind of like the guy who, plants seed in the ground. You don't see nothing, you don't see nothing, you don't see nothing. You water it, you take care of it, you fertilize it, you don't see nothing. Then one day you go out and whoa, it's this big already. What happened? That's how it is. There's always things going on under the surface with God. He's always working. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. Even when we don't see it, he's working, this song says. Okay, so everyone's chains broke. There are consequences, even to our worship, for those that haven't even come to know the Lord yet, right? We can begin to be salt and make them thirsty. We can begin to be light and make them want to come out of darkness. The jailer, upon seeing that he was ready with a sword to kill himself, again, most likely thinking it would spare him the torment and the consequences of losing those prisoners. Jesus, when he was at the cross, imprisoned willingly on the cross, did not fear, right? The consequences of him being there because he knew, and he had said it earlier in the scriptures, that he did not lose any that believed in him. Every prisoner that Jesus had, every disciple had the opportunity to be free. And it's funny too, because in the scriptures, I think it's in the Gospel of John, when he talks about that, first he talks about they all are going to betray him. And then he talks about, I didn't lose any. But see, he was looking at the big picture. And we need to look at the big picture and sometimes not narrowly focus on the thing at the moment, right? The betrayal at the moment. But like the joy set before him, he looked ahead at the big picture, right? Okay. So the jailer actually, like I said, washed their wounds, were the whole family was baptized, they were brought into the house, and the jailer becomes, instead of a jailer, he becomes a host to Almighty God, interrupting and impacting him and his entire household. And so when Paul and Silas were singing, this came about. So don't be shy about giving God your voice. And you know what? Good place to sing in your car. No. Or in the shower. You always sound good in the shower. Why is that? I don't know. The acoustics. I wish I could take my shower with me to church service and we could all be in our showers and sounding like heaven, right? But that is not the case. We're not going to do that. But anyways, I guess it's just to emphasize that praising and worshiping is and doing it just with music or with song is important, right? And now there are all kinds of other ways that we worship God, right? And we didn't touch on that with giving, with serving, with all of those things. But I did really want to focus on how powerful music is, how powerful praise is, how powerful it is when we release our own voice. It unlocks something. You know, sometimes you feel like you're a stopped up well, right? Like there's just all this clutter. People maybe threw all kinds of junk in your well all week long, and you had bad situations coming up or struggles or whatever it could be. Maybe you did some crummy things and it just kind of clogged things up. But when we praise God, oh, that's okay. When we praise God from our spirit, it unblocks that river of light. And it ushers forth everything that's clogging that well. You know what I mean? And it the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's like practicing prayer, practicing, praising God. There's all kinds of ways we can do it. I do a lot of it in my artwork, or in cooking or serving or whatever. There's all kinds of ways. A kind word that we can honor God. So that is to say, I want to hear all of you singing. Okay? See, the thing of it is, it's not me that wants to hear you. God in the scripture says he loves the sound of your voice. He says, oh, your form, who you are as a person is lovely. God says you're lovely. And he desires to hear from you. And so, keeping that in mind, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. Amen.